Igeres HaTshuva Perakai. So yesterday we learned how the 10 Sviros, which emanate from Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we explained how each of the letters Yud, Hey, and Vav and Hey allude to the different Sviros, we concluded by pointing out that a person, that the neshama of a man, of a Yid, is also created through those 10 Sviros as well. Which is going back to what we started with, which is that each and every one of us was created through the innermost expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. The man de nafach mitoche nafach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the soul of man, he blew from within himself, kiviyachol. And that's a way of saying that Hashem gave over his inner essence and entrusted it to us. Okay, so continuing with that theme, and actually coming back to the questions that we asked, we'll be able to start answering one of the questions today. Perakei. The drawing down and the descent, the yiridas hanefesh elokis to olam hazeh, that achelek elokam mimal, that kiviyachol, a divine spark, a piece of Hashem, will be sent to this world. And it will be enveloped, it will be enclosed within the Guf HaAdam. That comes from the Bechina, he says, of Pnimius Umakor HaDibur. That comes from the inner essence of speech. Not the speech that takes place on one's lips, right? But the Shorish of speech, which comes from the heart and from the Kishkas. The breath that comes from deep within. When I'm talking now, the breath is all taking place on my lips, in my mouth, right? But it's really rooted in the breath that I'm drawing from the depths of my being. So too, a Jewish neshama is sent to this world to then be enclosed and enveloped in the guf. Comes from the inner essence of Dibur, which is the Hevel HaElyon, he says. It's the divine breath, so to speak, which is hinted to in the final Hey of Hashem's name. Okay, we said yesterday that the final Hey corresponds to Malchus, corresponds to Peh, corresponds to Dibur. But what we're saying is that Hey is really rooted in what? In the Vav that comes before it, and the Hey that comes before it, and the Yod that comes before it, and the Kutz Shal Yod, the point on top of the Yod that comes before that. So really, right, the lower Hey, the bottom Hey, is the place where it expresses itself, and Hashem actually creates us. But realize that your Neshama is rooted in such a deep place, so much deeper than that. Okay, let's keep reading, let's see. Like the pasuk says, "V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim." Hashem blew into man, into Adam, a nishmas chayim v'hi ha'adam le'nefesh chaya, and man became a nefesh chaya. This is Perek Bey's pasuk Zayin of Bereishis. How does Unkelus translate nefesh chaya? And Rashi expresses the same idea: a speaking spirit, nefesh chaya, ruach memalala, a speaking spirit. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from his inner essence, kiviyachol, and blew it out, and spoke it out, to create the possibility of neshama beguf. Uman dinafach v'chulu, like this mimer he keeps quoting. One who blows, man dinafach, one who blows, blows from within. Now if you remember, in Perek Dalet, which we learned over the course of two shirim, in the first shir in Perek Dalet, he quoted a pasuk in Hazinu. We have to pay attention, because the Baal HaTanya will sometimes come back to something that he alluded to earlier and you don't realize what he's doing. How did we know? Where did we first establish? What was the textual proof from the Chumash that a Jew's neshama is created and connected to Shem Hashem? No, what was it? Ki chelek Hashem amo. Ki chelek Hashem amo. That Klal Yisrael is connected to what? To Hashem. Ki chelek Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, gives over part of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, to Amo, to Klal Yisrael. What's the end of that pasuk? So now he's going to show us how to read the end of the pasuk. It's beautiful. Take a look, please. Five lines from the bottom of the page. This is what it means. Ki chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso. Yaakov is the Chevel. Chevel is a rope. What does that mean?
A rope.
Perish. Kemo chevel, just like a rope, ayin dalet mem al derech mashal, sherosho echad kashru lamala, v'kitzeyu lamata, just like a rope can be attached on high, and the bottom end of the rope can dangle down below. So too, a Jew who's physically standing on Amsterdam Avenue, Neshama Beguf, actually is part of a rope, right? He's literally roped in, connected all the way back to his Shorash above. Okay? So even though, yes, his final expression, the final creation of him, so to speak, came about from that lower, the lower hay of Hashem's name, but he's roped back into the Vav above that, into the hay above that, into the Yud above that, all the way back to the point on top of the Yud, when it was Ola Beretzono Yisbarach, and entered Hashem's divine will to create man. The rope extends from high to low. So he's putting the pasuk together now. You see how he's putting the pasuk together? Ki chelek Hashem amo. That was the, again, that's what he brought at the beginning of Parak Dalet, to show that each of us comes from Yud Kei Vav, okay? Ah, but I'm down here, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're telling me, is the pnimius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in our you know, childish understanding is up there. So he says, no problem, it's like a rope. A rope that's connected up there, and is able to dangle all the way down, right? All the way down to the ground, down here, yeah.
What does it mean Yaakov is
the... Okay, so Yaakov as opposed to Yisrael might be what he's alluding to. We'll see. He might come back to that. Right? We know that the Ramban already says that Yaakov and Yisrael are two aspects of the Jewish people. Yaakov is the more superficial aspect of the Jewish people. Yisrael is the more elevated name of the Jewish people. So maybe that's exactly what it means. That Yaakov, Chevel Nachalasa, that Yaakov, that the lower expression of Klal Yisrael, right, down below. If you wonder, Chelek Hashem Amo, Chelek Hashem Amo is very lofty. Yeah, but Yaakov Chevel Nachalasso. So how am I down here walking on Amsterdam Avenue? The answer is, I'm like a puppet, and I'm attached to strings all the way up above. Okay? But the use of Yaakov as opposed to Yisrael might be something that he's getting at here. Okay, we'll hopefully come back to that. Teirish, again. So just like a Chevel al Derech Mashal, where its Rosh is tied up on high, and its other end is down below, so too, each and every one of us. Kine Pashat HaKosuv, the Pshat of the Pasuk, Vayipach, that Hashem blew from within Himself, Hu Lahoros Lanu Kamo Shal Derech Mashal. The idea of Hashem blowing from within Himself is to express also the following Mashal. Kisha Adam Nofeach, when a person blows out a strong breath, right? There's a strong wind, let's say. Le'eza makom. Yeah? Let's say there's a feather on my desk. And I would like to blow the feather off the desk. Right? So I exert myself, I take a deep breath, and I blow the feather off the desk. And the feather doesn't move. So either the feather is glued to my desk, that's a possibility. There's another reason the feather didn't move. There was a strong wind coming out, a strong breath coming out from within me. So why didn't the feather move? You know why? Because I had a safer that was like this, creating a blockage. So I'm standing on one side and I'm blowing, and there's a strong v'yipach ba'apav, and yet the thing on the other side is not moving because there's some type of blockage. So look at the mashal he says. Kisha adam nofeach le'ezamakom. A person's blowing in a certain direction. Im yesh ezadavar chotzeit. If something gets in the way, umafsik beintayim, ein hevel anofeach ola umegia klal la'oso, turn the page, makom. Then the intention of whatever I'm trying to give my breath over to, right, is going to be blocked. So we have to think about this now for a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim. Hashem is constantly trying to give over Pnimiyuso, His inner essence, to us. That should be our life force. Because that is the life force of the world. And the Jewish people are the tachlis of the world. So Hashem didn't make us like the angels, and Hashem didn't make us like the sun and the moon and the stars, and Hashem didn't make us like the trees, and Hashem didn't make us like animals, and Hashem didn't make us like regular other human beings from other nations, right? Who are all created with the chitzonius, with the external speech. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give over His inner essence, but the problem is if something's blocking, it's not going to work. Kocha mamish im yesh dover top line chotzei tu mafsik ben guf ha'odom lebechinas hevel ha'elyon. There could be a blockage between what? Again, we're trying to bring together a very unlikely shidduch. We're trying to bring together Pnimiyuso Yisbach, the inner essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to put that into what? Into a guf. Into a human being of flesh and blood. And it's going to be very hard to make that connection. There could be a blockage. There could be a blockage. I'll just tell you a great story because it's a story that the Amshin of a Rebbe, one of the Amshin of a Rebbe's, has a sefer called Yemos Olam. So he tells the story. It's actually a story about the Baal HaTanya, so I want to tell it. And you'll think about how it's relevant to what this mashal he just gave. The Baal HaTanya was once walking. Let's read one more line first, then I'll tell you the story. But in truth, even though there's a perception of things that get in the way, the Baal HaTanya wants us to believe that's all perception. There's a perception of things that in this world that are stopping me from being close to Hashem, from not allowing me to receive the hevel, right, the breath of God from His innermost essence. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. But there's all sorts of things that convince me that it's not possible to connect heaven and earth in this way. That there should be able to be a neshama from the pnimius of Hakadosh Baruch Hu that gives life to my body of flesh and blood with all of its desires. But lamaisa, in truth, says the Baal HaTanya, anything that we perceive to be a blockage is just a perception. Ach be'emes ein shum davar, third line, gashmi v'ruchni, chotzeis lefanav yisvach. There's nothing that can get in Hashem's way. The book on my desk will prevent me from blowing the feather off my desk. But there's nothing that can stop HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence from filling our lives and fulfilling all of reality, because Hashem's presence is all of reality. Right? He brings many psukim to make his point. And many ma'amari chazal. And lashonos in the Zohar Kaddush. For example, ki, for it says in Sefer Yirmiyah, halo es ha-shamayim ves ha-aret ani malay. Right? So it's not like we think there's a shamayim, there's an aretz, and they're so different, and there's so much in between them. It's ma'amish one and the same. Some of the chevra was here last year when we learned in Yalash al Torah HaChasidus, right, this might remind us of some of the approach of Chabad in general, about not being tricked by the division of the world to think, well, this is holy and this is not holy, right? Yes, there's a lower reality of Kodesh and Chol. You can't equate everything superficially, but in Pnimius, it's all Hashem. That's what the pasuk says. Hello, it's Shemayim, it's Aretz Ani Malay. I am Shemayim. I'm the most Ruchnius type things, Lamashal, and on the most Gashmius type things, Lamashal. Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Vav, Pasuk we know well, Umaloch Alaretz Kvodo. Or how about what it says in Tikkuni Zohar? Leis Asar Panoi Minei. There is not Atar. What's an Atar? A place. Leis Atar Panoi Minei. There is no place that is Panoi, devoid Minei of Him. Hashem fills all reality. Pasuk in Veschana, that we all know very well again. B'shamayim ma'al, v'al'aretz mitachas, einod. Or how about another statement from Zohar Kadosh? V'iyu ma'mali kol alman. It says in Raya Mehemna, section of the Zohar, in Parshas Pinchas, that iyu ma'mali kol alman, he fills all reality. So let me tell you the story now. So the Amshon of a Rebbe in the Amos Olam brings the following ma'isa. You'll have a kasha on the Baal HaTanya based on this ma'isa, but I think you'll understand how we strike a balance between reality as it is, right, and how we sometimes perceive it. And how we have to learn that on the one hand we know the higher reality, but I am also bound by the fact that from my human experience there is Kodesh and Chol. Right? By the tzaddikim, everything can be below Chol Aretz Kavodah. And that's the higher Metzias. But it's hard for us to see it that way sometimes. So the Baal HaTanya was once walking with the Berditchim. The Baal HaTanya was walking with the Levi Yitzchak Berditchim, the Kedushas Levi. They were walking together. I'm happy you asked. That's good. If I say something, you have no idea what I'm saying. So say who? Say what? Okay, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev was walking with the Baal HaTanya, and they came to a wall that was blocking their way. They came to a wall that was in their way. Yeah? So the Berditchever said to the Baal HaTanya, let's walk straight through the wall. Why? How can we walk straight through the wall? Ah, but there's a wall. Right? There's a wall. So he says, yeah, but we know that this whole world is kolo chashiv. It's as if it doesn't exist. This world is nothing. This world is alma deshikra. It's a false world. Right? That alma hadein, this world is kolo chashiv. It's like nothing. So this can't get in our way. This can't block us. So Baal HaTanya said back to the Berditchever, this world is kolo chashiv. It's like nothing, but it's still something. That's what he said to him. He said, we have to go around the wall. Now what's the pshat? What's the pshat in the story? Is this world as we see it reality or not reality. So in the highest realms, this world is not reality. And a tzaddik who is truly, right, if Yaakov chevel nachalaso, if his rope is perfectly connected, as we'll see in a second, he's going to go further with this mashal of the rope. But if his rope was perfectly connected, if a person saw no separation between Shemayim and Arat, if it was all Ein Od, Ein Od Mavado, then a person mamash could walk through walls in this world. And the words of Deacon were not bound by Teva in this world. The words of Deacon who lived L'malam and Ateva. Right? The Baal Tanya was saying to the Berditchever, it's not so pasha to be that way. Yes, we have to know this world is like nothing, but it's also still a something. We still have to eat, we still have to sleep, we still have to be human beings who acknowledge the reality as our lower senses indicate. Okay? But again, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being able to blow a breath of life into us, and this again is going to help us in the tshuva process, when we think there's so many walls blocking us, we have to remind ourselves that what? Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no Dover Gashmi, there's no Dover Ruchni, that can stop HaKadosh Baruch Hu from carrying out His will, because Hashem's will is all reality. Our job is not to put up more walls. But the Chaver was here two Sundays ago, and we chazed it this past Sunday. We're learning a sefer Avodas Pnim, and he says every time you do an Avera, it builds a little wall. Try to do tshuva right away, because if you don't, then the next time you do the Avera, the wall will thicken. It's much easier to take apart the wall, the negative wall, that blockage, if you remove it right away, before the wall becomes firm and built up, when the wall is still shaky, that's the time to remove it. So don't say, well, I'm going to do this Avera again anyway, so why should I pretend to do tshuva now? Because at least you keep dismantling these smaller walls instead of allowing this huge wall to be built. So he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya. We're seven lines down. Like it says in Yeshaya Perek Nuntes, Ki im avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein elokeichem. Right? The only thing that gets in the way, and again, it's all still kiviyachol, on our end, we have to take our Avera seriously. On Hashem's end, Hashem says, what difference does it make? Baal Tanya will say later on a very crazy thing about, does it really, from Hashem's perspective, do you think you really hurt Hashem? You think you hurt Hashem's feelings when you didn't listen to Him? Hashem can't handle it. He has a self-esteem problem. A couple human beings ate cheeseburgers, so now he's all bent out of shape. Very good. He's all bent out of shape because Jews aren't listening to his ratzon. You gotta come to Sunday share. If you want to be in the night, you gotta come to Sunday share. Yeah? You think Hashem's upset? So I did a million of Eros, or I did three of Eros? Or I did a billion of Eros? Does it make a difference to Hashem? But that's mitzad Hashem. Mitzad us, we can never, ever, ever think like that. And we have to think like this pasuk in Yeshaya. That our Averos built walls. That Avonoseichem were Mavdilim Veinechem Levein Elokeichem. Okay? V'atam l'fi shem neged ratzon ha'elyon baruch hu machayes hakol. Because when we do an Avera, we undermine the very desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ratzon of creating the world. Right? That everything I created, like the pasuk says, that this whole world was created lechvodi, right? For my honor, Hashem says, Barasiv, Yitzartiv, Af Asisiv, I created it, I made it, I formed it, I shaped it. And when we go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we undermine the ratzon of everything. And we cut off the life flow, the hamshacha, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine energy, of the chiyus and the shefa that Hashem is pouring down to this world. We start cutting the rope. That's what kares is. Kares is when we cut the rope. When we do small averos, we're hacking at the rope. When a person does kares, he cuts the rope entirely. Let's keep reading. He's going to say that. I just want to give you a heads up where we're headed. Like it says in Tehillim, Kol Asher Chafetz Hashem Asah B'Shemayim V'Aretz. Or as we've explained, Shumakor Ashpaz Shem Avaya V'Nirmas B'Kutzel Shiyut. So when a person does an avera, right, that avera goes all the way, the same way that if you shake the rope on the bottom, it will, right, the reverberations will travel up the rope. Maybe it'll look smaller as, you know, when you at the low end, you'll see like a very strong shaking of the rope. As it goes up, it'll seem to, you know, dissipate. Which is true, because the higher up it is, how much did I really damage the heavens? Right? But from the lower perspective, it looks like I made a big mess. I shook the world with my avera. Okay? So look what he says. But it goes all the way back to the Kutzel Shiyut, so you're really undermining the ratzon of Hashem in creating the world. V'zehu inyan ha-kares, and this is what kares is. Shenichras v'nifsak chevel ha-amshacha mishem avaya baruch hu. Kares is cutting the rope. Cutting off your source of life. Which is why, going back to the question, using the Baal HaTanya's preferred definition of Kares for our purposes, which is what? That a person dies at a young age. Misa b'nei shemayim, a person dies at a young age. Right? The Baal HaTanya's question was, why is it that people seem to be chayav Kares and live a long life? But now he's giving us what should happen. We'll have to explain why that's not happening anymore. But once upon a time, remember the mashal he gave us? Not the mashal, the example he gave us. Of the Navi Sheker, of Hananya ben Azur, right? Who died on the day that he spoke negatively. In Sefer Yirmiyahu, Perech of Ches. So why don't you have that anymore? If someone cuts the rope, then they should fall and they should die right away. So this is the Indian of Kares, he says. Kares is when a person severs the rope. He cuts the connection, Shinim Shecha, right? The rope is attached, so to speak, that rope is attached, hanging, right, from the final hay of Hashem's name. Picture Hashem's name coming down, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Right? It's anchored in the final hay. When a person cuts the rope, it means he's cutting off the connection. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey is not affected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is not hurt by your Aveira. But you've cut your connection from him. Kamasha Kosova Parshas Amor, like it says in Parshas Amor, V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ahi milfanai ani Hashem. That the person is cut away from me. Look how beautifully he's reading Pesukim Chavra. Look what the Pasuk says. V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ahi milfanai ani Hashem. That the person whose Chayiv Kare says what? Has cut himself away from before me, says Hashem, says Yud Kei Vav Kei. You've cut your connection to Yud Kei Vav Kei, to the source of life that was trying to be pumped into you. Vayipach b'pav nishmas chai, milufanai daika, he says. From before me, mamish, you were connected to me, my inner essence, and you severed it. What happens when I do any aveira? It's a powerful mashal to meditate on. This mashal is a powerful mashal. Uvishar aveiros she'ein ben kares. Other aveiros that aren't as severe as kares, alkoponim, hein pogmin ha-nefesh kenod. They make a pagam. They leave a mark. Right? They cause slight damage. Where do we think of... we talk about a pagam, a pagima. In halacha, where do we think about? We think about shechita. If a person wants to shecht an animal, you have to make sure, you have to check the knife to make sure that what? There are no nicks. There are no slight imperfections. Pagam hu milashon pagimas hasakin, he says. So you haven't cut the rope entirely, but the rope that was so strong and so smooth, all of a sudden you start to see, right, that as you were chopping at the rope with your averos, all of a sudden you start to see some of the threads look a little worn. They look like they're starting to unravel. It's not going to snap yet, but it's starting to be damaged. It's not smooth. It's pegima sasakin, like that rough part when the shochet is checking the knife against his nail and he feels a little tug, a little pull. Because the knife has a slight imperfection. Behu'al derech mashal, and going back again to our mashal of the rope, it makes perfect sense. Michevel av, picture a thick rope. Shazur mitaryag chavalim dakim. It's a beautiful, again, it's a beautiful mashal to meditate on. To spend 2 minutes a night sitting alone thinking about this mashal. That the 613 mitzvos are 613 strands which are tightly bound together, which are woven together. And that creates my strong rope that allows me to maintain that strong connection to HaKadosh Baruch. So it's a thick rope that is made up of taryag, right? These taryag threads or strands that are woven together, chavalim dakim, the smaller ropes. Kacha chevel ha'amshacha nizkal el kol mitaryag mitzvos. Ukisha over chas v'shalom achas meheina nifsa chevel hadak. So when I do a smaller avera, so what I've done is I've caused damage, what? I've caused a tear in that smaller strand. Now again, I'm still roped in for the most part, so I'm not going to fall. The rope has been compromised, the strength of the rope has been compromised, but I'm still connected, even though my connection is not as strong as it was the moment before the avera. Ach gam b'chayev kari sumisa nishar adayin bo harashimo minashar alokis. He's answering a question at this line. Why is it that when a person eats chametz on Pesach and is chayiv kares, why don't they die on the spot? According to our mashal, they cut the rope. That's it. Right? It should happen immediately. It should be the end. Why don't they die right away? The answer is, the very fact that they were once connected, right? The very fact that they were once connected, it's not plugged in anymore, it's not charging anymore, but they're still, the battery still has a charge. But that only has a limited charge at that point. That's what he's answering. That's what he says. Let's read the words again. Again, three lines from the end of the parak. If you want to know, what he's asking, the rhetorical question is, the implied question is, if you want to know, why is it that a person who's chayev karis or misa bidei shemayim doesn't die immediately? It's because nishar adayin bo harishimo. What's a roshem? A mark. There's still a trace. Again, the battery, once it's been unplugged, once the charger's been pulled out of the wall, the phone still has a charge, and that's going to allow it to last for a period of time. But it has no means of recharging. And when it runs out, it runs out. So that connection that was once there leaves a mark. So a person who's chayev kares can live to 50. A person who's chayev misa b'dei shemayim can live to 60. Below yoser, but not more than that. Because you have no means of recharging the battery. But the Arizal talks about a person maintaining some type of external connection to the life force, even if he's lost his internal connection. Now I'm not going to explain this line too much because we don't really know what he's about to say. But what just these last few words, Bizman Hazek Kidilakaman, in the next parak he's going to start to answer the question. The question was, okay, so you've explained to me, Balatanya, you've explained to me why a person doesn't die immediately at the end of this parak. Right? But the question is, the question that you asked, the Balatanya's question from the beginning of the fourth parak was what? But why do you have people who've been unplugged for a long time and their battery just seems to keep lasting? You know they're chayev karis. You saw them eat chametz on Pesach. And yet they live 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. So what's happening in the world today in terms of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of life? How is the whole system perhaps set up differently today that even after the person is chayev karis, he still somehow is able to maintain his battery charge? That's sort of what he's alluding to with this Arizal, that until now we've been talking about the inner connection, right? But there's also a makif, there's also an external way that a person can be plugged in, right? There's an external way that a person can maintain a charge which might carry him forward, but he says that's not with regard to Gashmis. That's talking about life in a different way. Our question is, in terms of physically being alive, how is it possible that a person who's chayev karis, bizman hazeh, after the rope has been severed, right, and there's no means of recharging the battery, how is it possible that the battery is lasting so long? That was our question at the beginning of Perek Dalet. But again, this is a powerful mashal to think about, and Mirtz Hashem will begin to answer that question tomorrow when we learn Perek Vav. Okay?